Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Yes, yes, you've landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of my podcast listeners on CITR, that's COTR, 101.9 FM. So welcome to The Box. If you've never been to The Box before, you know it's a dating and sex education show. So tonight we are going to be talking to a very sexy person, and it's going to be quite an engaging interview. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to wonder what gender you would like to be. Waking up and knowing that you've wanted to be something your entire life, but you're not. And actually taking those steps to change your life. We've got a very special person on our show tonight who is going to be talking about that. We've got a Ms. Sherison Kaiser on our show tonight. Now, Sherison has spent the last year living as a woman, and it's quite lovely, and she's going through all the transition right now, and it's quite exciting. She's groping herself right now, playing with her breasts, which is quite cool. She's also a piano cyclist, which I'll get her to mention that in just a moment, because it's quite an unusual thing. But she's really special, and we're really, really glad to have you on the show today, Sherison.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit, just before we get started, in terms of how long have you known that you're a woman?
Well, it kind of snuck up on me.
Really?
I've been in Revelstoke 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help myself. I became more and more feminine. The clothes that I would buy, the colors of the shirts and the blouses. And then the jeans, the cut of the jeans, and even the videos that I would watch had moved from action to drama, and then drama to well, the whole spectrum of women's life.
Okay, well, you'd mentioned that you started off getting dressed up for Halloween, sometimes dressing up as a woman, and that the breasts, it felt really natural to you.
Well, it was more than natural. When I put my breasts on,
mm-hmm.
October the 4th at 2 in the afternoon at the Revelstoke Ladies Auxiliary Thrift Store, it was a feeling of wonder and beauty, and such warmth and love came over me, and I thought, wow, that's all that, like, I was speechless. It just took me by surprise. It's like something that has been there all along, and all of a sudden, you're there. It's like love sneaking up on you.
That's awesome. But did you even suspect earlier on that you were a woman in a man's
body?
Well,
I thought I was bisexual.
Okay, so you'd experimented, because I know you've got children, you're married to a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I was married 8 years and 1 year of separation, so that makes 9.
Okay.
And I love women. I love, and now I know why. I am one.
So what made you make the decision to move to Vancouver and find out more about what it would be like to live like a woman?
Even, it wasn't really a decision
okay.
to move to Vancouver. It wasn't even a decision to be a woman. I am. And so my decision that I made was to affirm who I am,
okay.
whatever that is. I, at the early stage, I didn't know what shape that would take. When I look at this dating ad that I wrote, it's quite different than I would express now.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the second half. We got to keep everybody waiting a little bit longer. But tell me,
wasn't a decision to be a woman. I am one, and my decision was to affirm.
So was it like coming out?
Well, it was October the 4th at 2 in the afternoon that this, I call it my spiritual born-again gender epiphany.
Okay.
And it was amazing. It was, it like, once it happened, I says, I'm going to keep it on. So
And how was that for you? Because you'd grown up in a very religious background. You actually
went
to school, didn't you? Don't you have your master's in theology?
Yes.
Yeah.
From one of the most respected schools, world class.
So how did that feel? Did you feel guilty about feeling like realizing that you're a woman inside, or How did this, like, obviously this was freeing, putting the breasts on, but up until that point, had you thought about it over the years? I remember in previous conversations you've mentioned to me, just even as a little girl, that you'd wondered why you weren't like the other little girls. Like, so as a child, did you feel this?
Oh, I'm 7 years old, and I remember the layout of the playground in the school courtyard.
Yeah.
And I remember the direction I was facing, the girls that were playing this clapping game.
Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, I wish they accepted me as a girl. And there was a feeling of longing and sadness. And the longing was, I would like to be included with them, because I had just asked the girls earlier that day if I could play with them.
Yeah.
Because I was a loner. I didn't like the boys back in elementary school. I thought they were icky. I didn't like how they talked or joked or played their games or sports. I hardly ever was around them.
How was it telling your family, or have you told your family yet?
Well, back in when I was 7 years old, the girls let me play with them. So I had a new group that I was part of, and I felt wonderful. But that longing, I wish they accepted me as a girl. But how can they? And the next year, I began getting migraine headaches.
Interesting.
Severe migraine headaches twice a week. Now, I never had any reasonable explanation until this year why that might happen. Transgender children who grow up in ultra-conservative families that don't accept who they are suffer emotionally and psychologically.
One thing that we should do, actually, is probably tell our listeners, what is transgendered exactly? In your words, how would you describe that? Because there's different types of transgenders, of course, right? There's transgender where it's cross-dressing. There's transsexual. There's a variety of different types, right? Male to female, female to male. How would you describe transgendered?
Well, I prefer the term gender dissident. Because even Jesus said, man isn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. We're not made to conform to certain boxes and stereotypes. They're suggestive, not prescriptive.
Interesting.
And the bottom line is, are you alive?
Okay.
Are you really alive? Like, do you really enjoy engaging yourself physically in your body? Do you relish your breath, your taste buds, your sense of touch?
I don't know if there's that many people out there that do fully, whether their gender
is. Do we want to go through life half conscious, half there, half alive? And that's one thing I've had a passion all my life. Whatever I've done, I've done it my whole heart. And when I was born again with a strong mission of how you needed to be saved, and I was the most loving, sincere, judgmental asshole. And I'm so glad to have been delivered from an unspoken arrogance to think I know what you need and I know how to fix you.
Okay. I'm going to just jump to Wikipedia really quickly, which, according to them, transgendered, which I actually spoke with Shannon earlier, thank you very much, from Three Bridges, which has a great program in terms of support for transgendered peoples. And she suggested that with Wikipedia, transgendered, it's a combination across a variety of different individuals, behaviors, and groups involving tendencies
that commonly but not always are not always assigned at birth, as well as the traditional roles held by society. And transgender is the state of one's gender identity. Self-identification as man, woman, or neither. And it's not matching one's assigned sex. And they've got that in quotations. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, that gives a guideline.
Okay.
And again, it's not... It's not a cookie cutter.
No, it's not. There's transsexual, there's cross-dressers, there's transvestites, there's drag queens, kings, there's genderqueer, there's people who live as cross-gender, there's androgynous, there's so many different types, definitely.
Well, clarify, who are you inside?
And how do you do that,
though? The difference between a transvestite and myself is I'm a girl in a boy's body. I'm not dressing up as a girl. I'm a girl dressing up now as a girl.
You've written a piece about that, haven't you? In one of the literacy programs that you were taking. So I don't know, would you care to share that piece?
Which piece?
The piece that they were doing in terms of when you're working on the vagina monologues.
Oh.
And where you wrote your own monologue, because there wasn't one in the book that was by Eve Ensler.
No. And so, this is an amazing piece of literature.
Okay.
And here I find myself in a group of 6 to 8 ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at the very early stage of coming to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so thankful for Caroline and her welcoming me.
Oh, yes.
Oh, like it was huge. What a huge moral support it was.
Thank you.
And here I'm reading these gutsy, very graphic and emotional and painful and very expressive explorations of what it means to be vagina and be woman. And I'm feeling totally at home in this group. And it was in the second week, in the fifth hour of reading, that I says, wow, I'm more at home with these group of ladies talking about our vaginas than my whole life before with the guys talking about cock and pussy. By definition, a guy is a prick with a mind of its own. Now, I do have a penis, but it doesn't have a mind of its own. It never has. I never could relate how guys get carried away. And my penis, somehow my insie, all babies I saw on Discovery Channel, all babies are girls, are becoming girls. They all have insies. And then something happens. Some start developing outsies. And that's what happened to me. My insie turned into an outsie, but I was still a girl on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
My penis thinks like a pussy. It doesn't have a mind of its own. It thinks like a pussy. I call it, more appropriately, a penussy. I coined that term. And I feel comfortable seeing myself as vagina in a larger sense. Actually, to be anatomically correct, it's not vagina. It's a very, very large clitoris. So if Freud and psychology and all this hoopla of penis envy were true, well, I would have had it made. But I never felt inclined that way.
That was awesome. So I think that's really good.
There's more that goes to it, but I'm kind of overwhelmed right
That's
now.
Okay. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot, making you do this on air. I just figured it was a good way to get our listeners to just understand where you're coming from. You have also done... I know myself, if I had... if I had gender identity where I need to explore that, I'd probably go for therapy. Have you done therapy, and would you recommend that to anybody?
Oh, I found huge support with Coastal Health.
Okay, they've got a great
program. The transgender group. Oh, yeah. We meet once a week.
And what happens in that?
Oh.
Is that the one that Shannon runs?
This was amazing. For the first time, I find myself in a room, and we're talking almost a year ago. I find myself in a room with a dozen other girls that are in boys' bodies.
So it's just...
And it was such an amazing feeling of recognizing myself with them.
Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify for our listeners. So that was a group that's from male to female.
Well,
and
actually,
varying stages as opposed to female to male.
No, it's
or
both.
Or is it both?
It's both.
Okay.
And there are a number of groups around the city. One meets at UBC here.
Okay.
And Thursday about 11:30 or 12:30 to 1:30. The first time I met with the group, I'm male to female,
mm-hmm.
transgender girl, and there was a female to male transgender boy, and then there was a gender queer. The three of us, and gender queer was both and neither. It doesn't matter, or it matters a lot.
Okay,
like it's Isn't not. And when the three of us were together, it had such a neat chemistry to our conversation. It was amazing.
That's cool. What type of thing? Like, are you finding it's good to network and get to know other people who are going through similar things? I imagine there's a lot of support happening there.
The doctor in Revelstoke strongly urged me to get counseling.
Was this the doctor that you went to, you brought in your doctor's note?
This is not this specific one. The doctor in Revelstoke suggested that I check this out further.
Okay.
Because I said, I think this isn't going to go away.
So was this a psychologist or a psychiatrist, or was this like your MD?
Well, for the first time in Vancouver, mm-hmm. I was directed to see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And he turned me inside out and explored my history, my emotions, my nature,
mm-hmm.
Strengths, weaknesses, biases, flaws.
And got to know a lot of information. And what was the result?
Oh, he's thrilled with the progress. I've come a long ways, baby. It's like walking on ice, and you don't know if you're going to break through. And I could feel my inner woman strengthen week to week. It was such an affirming process.
Wow.
Getting the moral support from the different groups,
mm-hmm.
and specific counseling that would answer any questions. Big fears or taboos some girls come from,
mm-hmm.
transgender girls, or anyone, as far as that goes.
Well, it's a big step, isn't it? And I know you've told some of your family, so I guess the first step is having, creating the support around would be a good way, right? In terms of through your other peers within the support group and the groups. Then talking to the family is the next step.
I was told the family is likely the very last.
Really? Okay.
To ever get on board with you?
That makes sense, because they're used to identifying with you as a boy. So.
And I'm extremely amazed. My son is the only one on board with me.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm thrilled. We have a healthy rapport. That's because I had a healthy rapport with him,
mm-hmm.
when he was a kid. He remembers that I was there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we have a healthy... he asked me advice about girls, and and women. And
well, it's nice you're going to be able to say both. Well, there was that movie that we saw during the transgendered conference in the spring. I believe I saw it with you, a boy I used to know, that movie. And it was interesting in that particular film that that the mother had a really hard time and kept calling her daughter Gwen. She kept calling her a him and kept calling her Stephen because it was, as she put it, it was the grieving process that families go through sometimes, because it's really difficult because this person that they thought they knew, all of a sudden it's like they're not there anymore.
Well, people see their children and their friends in terms of their dreams for them. And they're seeing it through their own biases.
That's true.
Instead of seeing from to the inner core of who the person is, regardless of what they look on the outside. And there's a scripture. Man looks on the outside, but God sees the heart. And it was my theological training that was helped me leaps and bounds overcome the severe cultural biases and caricatures that we are prone to believe.
So you still believe in God after all of this?
Oh, even more. The goddess that I believe in is has a wonderful imagination.
What, in terms of prejudice, have you found there's been a lot of prejudice or stigma?
Well, when a person comes with prejudice, they're telling more about themselves than me.
Okay.
And there's some people that have severe moral problems. And I said to this person, I'm really sad for you. You've got bad eyesight. If you can't see a beautiful person and all the love and the joy and the peace that I have in my heart, then you've got bad eyes. Some people see things backwards. Other people miss the colors. To call evil good, that's maybe a problem. But to call good evil is even worse. Because then you lose all standard of life.
Wow.
And people with biases really got to give their head a shake because life is about diversity and community. Our whole genetic DNA will bring us to such a beautiful expression of diversity if we allow it.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick short break. You're listening to Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We're going to be right back after the short break, and we're going to be talking about dating in the transgendered world, prejudice a little bit more, and we're going to be talking about so much, much, much more. So if you want, you can give us a call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We're going to be right back.
Yum, yum.
Like a jump. Gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. You're in Juicebox Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And we were just listening to Blur, a little bit of Boys Who Like Girls to Girls Who Like Boys and all that's in between, which I thought was very appropriate considering tonight we're talking to Ms. Sherison Kaiser. We're talking about being transgendered. We're talking about gender reassignment. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about dating and we're going to be talking about the hormones, because we'd started off in the first half, if you're listening, about the therapy. And now we're going to talk about the hormones and a little bit more about prejudice and things like that and some fun stuff too. So if you want, you can give us a call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So welcome back for the second half of the show, the juice box, which as Sherison would say,
yum yum.
And I know you always say that, which is quite interesting. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about prejudice, and one of the things I wanted to bring up was I had heard, and just some of the other transgendered clients I've spoken to, both through Beauty Night as well as just people I've interviewed just for this article through Coastal Health, had mentioned that sometimes it's a little easier from female to male on a multiple different levels, everything from
it's a little bit simpler in terms of just society seems to accept it a bit more. In the lesbian community, they're a little bit more open, whereas as opposed to in the gay community. What is your take? I know you identify as a lesbian, so maybe it's been easier on that end because of that, perhaps.
I had my beginning in Revelstoke. Oh. And that's redneck, lumberjack, railway. And I felt such a joy inside.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm blossoming, and over a month I turn into one hot-looking lady. And there was this one dear lady that she was like an aunt or a great aunt to me, mm-hmm. and had given me such beautiful moral support. And she said, "We like Harrison. We miss Harrison.
So you were Harrison
Please
before.
Let Harrison come back to us."
So,
and you can't see my picture, but at one time
I had
a full Einstein mustache. And now you can see there's probably a dozen hairs left.
From the laser.
From the laser and the
wow.
electrolysis.
You look like a completely different person. So it sounds like that lady was going through a little bit of the grieving process.
Oh, yes, she wanted me back. And I felt, and there was another lady. Don't you realize, when's this nonsense going to stop? Because the day after mm-hmm. Halloween, I'm still dressed as a woman. And when's this nonsense going to stop? Well, it kind of grew on me. And I says, she said, don't you realize what other people are thinking and feeling? And I says, well, I would hope they would be happy for me with the joy that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the suicidal thoughts stopped.
So did you have a lot of suicidal thoughts beforehand?
No, we're talking about, at that stage, brain farts.
Okay.
I had dealt with the severe ones years earlier.
So did the depression follow with the migraines? I'm just going to go full circle back to when you were a kid.
You
mentioned about migraines and the depression, and you've just mentioned suicide. So do you think that was all connected with the suppression? Suppressing of who you really are?
Looking back, that's the most reasonable explanation. And I would say I was a tormented child. And ultra serious, ultra wanting to please my parents. And very precocious, very gifted.
You sound a lot better than I did when I was a kid, and Julia can attest to that when she's back on the show next week.
I didn't go through childhood. I was a super serious child,
okay.
And I didn't go through adolescence. I was a fully functional adult. So now I am actually a teenage girl.
So as a teenage girl, how are you exploring your sexuality?
Oh.
Safely, I hope?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. So how is it?
And funly?
And funly, so define that. How are you meeting people? Is it through the support group? Are you meeting people through that and dating them, or?
It's like people meet me.
And you're mentioning you had the ad as well.
I went for a walk with this one girlfriend of mine, and she's a petite cutie hottie, a real Spitfire bombshell. Forgive the generalizations, but she's gorgeous, and she was hit on 3 times during the walk. I was hit on 6 times. I couldn't believe it. Like, honestly, I'm a lot more attractive now as a girl, as a than I ever was as a guy.
So it's how you feel too, right?
And not only that, I'm attracted to bisexual men, to bisexual women.
Okay.
Even curious lesbians that want to stray.
Interesting.
Because I'm a lesbian. And they can experiment with the unknown.
I think it's interesting because I wonder how that fits in terms of you're pointing out this For my listeners out there, there's this Watson table where there's categories of gender disorientation and indecision from male to female. And you put yourself into group four, which is about moderate intensity transsexual.
Yeah, the think of a continuum from really, really cold to really, really hot. On the one extreme, half of all transsexual kids kill themselves, commit suicide by the time they're 30. Half. Now, that would be what you would say is group five, the high intensity.
I'm going to just read that out to our listeners. So group one would be basically female identified only with acting out sexual fantasies. Group two, appeal for femininity may spill over into the non-sexual life. Group three is ambient gender identity, value male sex organs but feel female, a she-male. And group four, which is what you identify with from the most part, even though there are some discretions there, which we'll talk about in a bit, feel female but able to suppress until aged 30 to 50, increasing dichotomy with age. Interesting. And group five, which is the one you're talking about, were almost 50% and in suicide. I didn't have any stats, but I did know that the suicide rate was high.
That's a tragedy.
It is, where it's total gender inversion, never able to suppress femininity, feminine boys. Wow.
And it's pretty cruel for a culture that seems to be open-minded and healthy to condition people to be intolerant toward that kind of diversity.
Well, hopefully that will change. There's some great things that are going on. I know Coastal Health's hoping to do some things, which I'm going to have them on the show.
And I'm a writer and a musician, and I have a master's in theology. It's a pastoral master's. And I want to communicate the heart of the love of God from the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of today's sexual language. And it's very liberating.
I think sounds great, but that's going to be a whole other show, with that. But in regards to dating, you'd mentioned that you'd started off about 6 months ago putting a profile together. So where was this profile? Was this for online dating?
Oh, yeah. One of my buddies here in Vancouver encouraged me to put a line on Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish,
and
okay.
I called myself Trans Girl. And I had such a fun write-up. I said, I'm a relaxation massage therapist, part-time musician. When I'm not healing sore bodies, my nimble digits are flying across the keyboard of a piano on wheels, which I pedal in malls and parades. I play show tunes and my own classically inspired masterpieces, but that's just window dressing. The real adventure is in my life has been a recent journey of self-discovery. You see, I've always had a sensitive feminine side, a woman trapped in a man's body, if you will, and now I'm letting her out. It's been an amazing, liberating, and satisfying experience. I have the very best of both worlds. I'm a woman from the waist up and a man from the waist down. Now, I would clarify that. That's a penussy from the waist down.
Did you put that in the ad about the penussy?
Not yet. No, no.
Not this yet. Was, I wonder.
That was after I was in your group. The ad was already running.
Oh.
Now that I'm comfortable in my new skin, I'm ready to share my newfound joy with an adventurous bi female, lesbian, she-male, or curious couple.
And how did you find the response to the ad? Were you getting more responses from male or female, or what type of results?
I've had a cross-section of curious people.
Okay. Because Plenty of Fish is an interesting one. I've got a few friends who do describe it as Plenty of Freaks, even though I wouldn't describe it that way myself. But I know usually until I figured out how to disable the instant messenger, I couldn't even check my own messages because there's just so much stuff on there. So did you find it interesting, or what was your experience on there?
I am so sorry. I got so involved in my blossoming female that I didn't have time to check out.
Like, so did you
I was meeting so
dates?
Many people live.
That you didn't need to indulge in the online experience.
And it's who comes out of the woodwork. And on the bus, and where I play piano, and...
people just are attracted to you.
Yeah, I've been.
Well, it's probably because you're so happy, and and they can feel that joy.
And I just had my 1 year gender anniversary, and they says, "What are you going to do to celebrate?" Every day is my celebration. I don't have to do anything. I am just so glad every day. At least the thought occurs at least 30, 40, 50 times. I am so glad, and I'm overwhelmed how blessed I am to be a girl.
I think that's really awesome.
And I inspire women to appreciate who they are.
That's a good thing. I wish I could say the same thing all the time.
And it adds wonderful life when it comes to dating and romance, and because when you love yourself
and feel good about who you are.
And you also accept and are comfortable totally, like a tight glove. A tight-fitting leather glove, that's how I feel in my body. The more it becomes female, like I'm actually a teenage girl, I am growing breast cc's.
So would that be from the hormones that you're taking? Because
yes.
It starts off with therapy. The next step is the hormones.
You go through, it's an incredible, grueling process to finally get approved for the hormones.
How long did that take, and what type of process did you have to go through?
Good night. Torture. It takes way too long.
Okay, is it a lot of assessments through doctors, or is it keeping a journal? What type of process is it?
Meeting with doctors for long-term assessment over months.
Okay.
And a psychiatrist and a medical doctor and counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I got the go-ahead. And as we speak right now, I am eating and swallowing my boy killer hormone.
Boy killer hormones.
Spironolactone. It tricks the body.
And it suppresses
It has too much testosterone.
Yeah, so it suppresses the testosterone, isn't that correct?
And it converts it to estrogen.
That's right. Which is interesting, because in comparison to the female to male hormones, it's a little simpler process, I was told.
Yes, much
simpler. To Coastal Health this afternoon when I interviewed them, they mentioned that it's actually simpler for them, where they actually automatically, when they start taking the hormones, they start the facial hair, the beards, the mustache, they start getting the receding balding patterns, they start getting the paunch, all that. So it's pretty
testosterone
simple.
Testosterone is one powerful drug. it's your fuck it, kill it hormone. They took docile, loving, giving women who wouldn't hurt a butterfly and gave them the kind of testosterone levels guys have to live with, and they became competitive, aggressive, cutthroat, like total about face.
Yeah, it's
testosterone.
Pretty.
And so I'm undoing the testosterone in my body. My hair is blossoming beautifully. And eventually, just from the hormones, my bodily hair will all fade away.
How does it affect the genital area?
I'm told that the testes will shrink to half the size.
Okay.
And there's exercises that I can do to keep my penis full length.
And do you want to do that, or are you still in the process of deciding what you'd like to do in terms of going for surgery?
I'm still a teenage girl at her early adolescence.
So you're getting to enjoy.
So I'm going to see where this goes.
Fair enough.
I'm mainly attracted to to ladies. And if I was attracted to guys, I'd probably want to have a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I think I've got the best of both worlds because over a lifetime, and I didn't realize it until this year, why I haven't had any bad sexual experiences with women. They've been all good. And that's because I make love to a woman as a woman.
Hmm.
But I've got the dressing of a penis.
What would the process be if you decided to go? Because you said it was really difficult in terms of going for it to get the hormones. So what would be the next step if you did decide that you want to go for surgery? And it's not covered in BC, I know. It's covered in Ontario and other provinces.
No, after 1 year that you've lived as a girl,
mm-hmm,
in the lifestyle, then you qualify for genital surgery.
Okay, because Coastal Health was saying that it's not always the case, so where it's covered necessarily.
They used to be 2 years. It's changed to 1 year.
Okay.
Now, I've never really looked into that much because it doesn't really apply to me. I'm not inclined that way. Maybe down the road, once the estrogen and the progesterone take over my body, who knows?
Okay.
But I'm wonderfully comfortable in my skin, and I like how my penis works. The difference is that a penis needs testosterone to function, and I am now functioning with female hormones, female sex hormones, DHEA.
Well, I hope you're being careful and you are taking your calcium as well, just because it sometimes, just in terms of osteoporosis, you want to make sure that you're okay, because sometimes from male to female, you're just more at risk, just like every other woman is biologically in terms of...
I am the combination of a teenage girl, after menopause. Everything in between being a teenage girl and before menopause, I miss.
So in other words, you don't need to worry about pregnancy.
However, with the hormones, with the estrogen and progesterone, my nipples, areolas, and breasts are growing, and I massage 3 times a day to bring extra circulation so that my breast disease will grow big and strong just like yours. And when I massage by the nipples, I can produce the clear white liquid in each nipple.
I can honestly say that's never happened to me.
I will, my thought is to become a wet nurse. Once my breasts are mature enough.
What else do you aspire to?
I want to discover.
Because you're a masseuse, has it affected your employment at all?
Well.
Because one of the things that was brought up when I spoke to another transgender lady this morning, she had mentioned just sometimes in her experience, one of the support groups she ran, that some of the women had faced just discrimination in terms of employment. And have you found that to be the case at this point, or have you heard of other people that's affected?
What I'm saying, in Revelstoke, I had so much love in my heart that I create my own thermostat. And there would be people coming at me with ice-cold thoughts and frigid feelings. I mean, that's their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I attract those that are ready, and I've been wonderfully received here.
Which is really lovely. What else do you want to tell us? You've got a big smile on your face, so I think you've got something else
I've
you want to say.
I've been exploring female energy in massage.
All right.
And I've noticed over the last decade, actually, I've massaged since my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've massaged over 20 years.
That's a very long time.
Well, it's actually over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
that my fingers feel, and it's like my fingers have a mind of their own, mm-hmm. and they massage. I can be in a conversation with a person, 15 minutes will go by, and my hands will have been vigorous. I'll even be in a sweat from the rigorous massage that I can give. And it's also very responsive. I would say it's almost all female energy.
Wow.
Because it's not rational. It's not controlled. I don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls describe my massage as better than sex.
That sounds very interesting. One of my questions I had for you, are there different things that you do? Because you obviously take the hormones, you've got your support group going, you're dating, you're happy, you're healthy. What else would you recommend to somebody who was going from male to female? You'd mentioned things like laser. What are some practical things that are important?
Walk as much as you can, because with the hormones, you're going to pack it away.
Really? Okay. So with the hormones going the opposite way from female to male, they develop
thrilled. I was thrilled. But when I developed, half an inch of fat, I had never had in my life.
So now you're going to have to work it out and get physical.
Oh, I was thrilled. Like, I'd always tried to say skinny and lean, but there's a different kind of fat. Female fat.
What other things can they do? What would you recommend in terms of advice, in terms of for people who wanted to come out, whether or not it's coming out because they're gay, they're lesbian, or they're coming out because they're trans and they've decided to make some changes in their lives, to their friends and family? What would be a good way to do that, would you recommend?
Oh, just look yourself in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
and love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, it's so frustrating trying to please others for their sake.
Is there any support for the friends and family? As we were mentioning earlier, there is that grieving process, especially parents go through in terms of siblings.
Well, I could have never done this until both my parents died 7 years ago, 6.5 years ago, and I could have never come out while they were alive. It would have killed my mom.
How did you tell your son? Because you're mentioning you had a really positive relationship with your son. So how did you?
He was inviting me over for Christmas. And I says, son, I've been in the last, since October the 4th, I've been exploring my female side. And this is something that it's growing. I like the direction this is taking in my life, and I just want you to know I'm exploring my female side. And I'm amazed, and I think it's with his open-mindedness. He has a solid head on his shoulders, and he's also exposed to cultures that are open-minded.
So you think it'd be a little bit more open in this day and age than it would have been 50 years ago?
Yeah, like he's into Japanimation.
Okay.
And the Japanese culture, even though it's very old and traditional,
mm-hmm.
they're leaps and bounds ahead of North Americans, which tend to be anal and suppressed.
Okay.
Quite unhealthy.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
And are we done?
It's that time. And thank you so much for being on Juicebox Radio. We're going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Yum, yum.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give it to me. You're
I think I have to wait 2 seconds, Marion, just to...
If you don't think I know what's happened,
it's quite
here we go.